Hello and welcome to this quarter's brand new Sabbath School study lesson. We are in the second quarter of 2025, and we have a new lesson that's called The Illusions, Images, and Symbols, How to Study Bible Prophecy. But before we begin, let me offer you a free offer, which is the book, The Ultimate Resource. You can get this by texting SH091 to the number 40544, or you can go online to study.aftv.org/SH091. We can only mail this to people in the United States and the U.S. territories. So the number, once again, you can call is 1-866-788-3966 and ask for this offer 728. We'll repeat this at the end of this study hour. So once again, we are in a brand new quarter, and this particular quarter is a very exciting one, and I'm very excited to share with you the first lesson. But before we begin, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to direct. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful privilege to be able to come and to be able to understand prophecy. We ask and pray that you would open our eyes and ears so that we would have wisdom and that you would enlighten us from heaven with all the things that we need to be able to understand a little bit better. Guide and direct my words at this time, for I ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This particular lesson's study is dealing with the principles of prophecy. Now, before we dig into that, let's look and see what the memory verse is that we have to study. The memory verse shows us, "But let him who glories glory in this, that he studies, he understands, and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." That's found in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. That lays the principles a little bit better for us. Now, we head to Sabbath afternoon's study lesson. Sabbath afternoon lesson deals with some of the things that we have to understand from Scripture as to what prophecy is about. Is it made up? Is it something that we can trust? In the Bible, we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." This is the focus of what we need today to be able to understand prophecy, because by understanding prophecy, this tells us that we would be fully equipped for every good work, to be able to explain to other people, to be a witness, to be a testimony to other people. Now we dig into Sunday's lesson. Sunday's lesson is on whoever reads, let him understand. Now, there are many different prophecies that we find in the Bible. Some of these we're going to go through right now, and you'll be able to pick up a few things. Let's see what the Bible's saying here. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, Jesus says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." The whole situation here is to try to get us to understand. Now we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." We jump back now back to Matthew chapter 11 and see another one that comes up. Jesus says to the people, to us, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." One more, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. All these four scriptures are given to us so that we can do one thing, to understand. Because it is in understanding that we can explain it to other people. Many times, we don't understand these things. And I learned many years ago, when I was a young boy, I loved to make paper airplanes. But the only way that you could really understand how to make the paper airplane is by first watching somebody else do it. You make it yourself, and then you teach people to make it. And the more people you can teach to make it, the more it's ingrained in your mind. And when that happens, you never forget these things. And many of the airplanes I used to make out of paper, I still remember because I've taught them to other people. So it is truly in the understanding that we become wise into that, especially when we share it with other people. In Psalms chapter 32, David writes here in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Now, I find a really precious gem in the book Education. And from page 170, we find the following words. We have no reason to doubt God's word because we cannot understand the mysteries of his providence. In the natural world, we are constantly surrounded with wonders beyond our comprehension. Should we then be surprised to find in the spiritual world also mysteries that we cannot fathom? The difficulty lies solely in the weakness and the narrowness of the human mind. The fact needs to be emphasized and often repeated that the mysteries of the Bible are not such because God has sought to conceal truth, but because our own weakness or ignorance makes us incapable of comprehending or appropriating truth. It continues on. The limitation is not in his purpose, but in our capacity. Of those very portions of scriptures often passed by as impossible to understand, God desires us to understand as much as our minds are capable of receiving. Why? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, that we may be thoroughly furnished for every good work. God's whole purpose here is to help us to understand, and he gives these to us, but our limitation is in the fact that we are only limited by our ability to fathom and to comprehend it. This moves us to Monday's lesson. God wants to be understood. So everything he writes, he doesn't seal it up. He wants us to be able to comprehend it. For what purpose? So that we can understand salvation, the gift of salvation, and be able to spread this to other people as well. In the lesson, which I really am enjoying this particular month's lesson or this quarter's lesson, the lesson brings out the following. With God, a different problem emerges. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, he says, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. The problem isn't that God doesn't have the vocabulary to communicate with us. The problem is that we don't have the vocabulary or intellectual capacity to understand him fully. So what do you do? Many times when you sit there, you're trying to study, you're trying to get understanding. What can you do? Well, God says, if you ask, we would receive. So put him to the test. Ask him. Ask him to give you wisdom. Here's what David writes in Psalms 139. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. We jump back to the lesson, and the lesson brings out the following. The truth of the matter is that we will never fully understand the mind of God because He is infinite and omniscient. After all, we can barely understand everything about the creation. How would we fully understand its creator? We can't. When the apostles explained the gospel to their audience, they were frequently referred to fulfilled prophecy, which we can deduce that one of the key purposes of prophecy is to illustrate the plan of salvation. Indeed, in the bend, Bible prophecy must ultimately, in one way or another, lead us to Jesus and promise of salvation that He offers to all humanity. If it were possible for us to attain to a full understanding of God and His Word, there would be for us no further discovery of truth, no greater knowledge, no further development. God would cease to be supreme, and man would cease to advance. But thank God, it is not so. Since God is finite, and in Him are all the treasures of wisdom, we may to all eternity be ever searching, ever learning, and yet never exhaust the riches of His wisdom, His goodness, or His power. This is from Education, page 172. God has so much more that we can't even comprehend. Because our minds are finite, we can't comprehend the infinite. God knows the beginning from the end. For us to be able to think about even going to heaven and living for forever, we're limited because lifespan is 70, 80 years. And we just think beyond that, that when you reach 100, you become old, you become very fragile, that you may lose some of your ability to think clearly. You lose your physical capacities. But then you're wondering, if that's 100, what's it going to be like to live forever? Our minds just cannot comprehend that. So what do we do with these things? Well, we have to pray that God would give us wisdom, because He tells us in Matthew 19, verse 26, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" So God gives us what we ask for. This is why it's so very important when you open the Bible that you first pray, because it is in praying that God imparts to us the knowledge that we need. But if we just go at it by reading it, we're not going to fully understand it, because He stands there and angels give us the knowledge that we need to understand. Let's look at Tuesday's lesson, because we'll find a little bit more about what Daniel went through. Daniel was told, "Shut up the words." Here's the verse that we find in Daniel chapter 12. In his last chapter, in verse 4, he writes and he says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal up the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." We're at the time period right now where many people think that this verse means, look, we're running to and fro because we've got faster jets, we've got faster trains, we've got the technology of all the latest smartphones, we've got things we can put on our faces to be able to help us to understand more, we've got fast cars. Everything is fast and everything is going very quickly. However, that's not what the verse means. Let's look at that again. The verse says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal up the book." In other words, his book, Daniel's book, was to be closed for a certain time period. But then after that time period, it is to be opened, because people will start to understand. Why? Because knowledge shall increase. And because knowledge shall increase, prophecies will become more understandable to us, because they coincide with the times in which we're living. And because of that, now men will run to and fro. For what reason would they run to and fro? They're running to and fro because now prophecy has been unsealed and they can take the message into all the world with it. That's what we were told in Matthew chapter 24:15. that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, as a testimony, and then the end will come. So the instruction that was given to Daniel was to keep that book closed. Here's what we find in the lesson. The angel's instruction to Daniel begins with an injunction to shut up the words and seal up the book. The subject being discussed is the book of Daniel itself. Perhaps then, could that knowledge which would suddenly increase at the end of time be knowledge of the book of Daniel itself? This makes the book of Daniel somewhat different from Revelation, in that John was told not to seal up the book, but we find here Revelation was meant to be understood first because the time was at hand. In contrast, Daniel would be understood more clearly at some point in a distant future. Here's what we're told about Revelation chapter 22. John was told, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." That means his book was a now book then for them. But Daniel's book was closed because it was not to be understood. It's kind of like at the end of someone's life, they may have a will, or they may have a trust, and then they may have a letter to their loved one that they will give them at that time, the time of the end. Which brings us to, what time would that be? Well, we know that prophecy came about and people started studying the Bible and they started studying prophecy. And it wasn't just one, it was many people all over the world. But there was one that actually, I guess you could say, broke the code and understood it more. His name was William Miller. Now, this is not the greatest image of it because I actually took this picture of William Miller because I happened to have been at his house that he grew up in, which was back in October of 2024. And when I was there at the house, this is an image that you see as you're driving up the driveway. It's an Adventist historical site. But when you turn to the left, there's the house that he grew up. There's his barn. So what exactly did William Miller study? Well, he studied many different things in prophecy, but things that were so plain, things that were so clear to understand, was not very clear to many people, many Christians. I mean, here, for example, the Bible talks very clearly about the seventh day being the Sabbath, yet people question it. People didn't understand it. People began to keep Sunday as the first day of the week. But what does the Bible say? And then there were other prophecies that related to what happens when you die. And then what happens about hell? Is it burning forever and ever? Many people didn't understand these things. And William Miller continued to study these things. This leads us more into more information about William Miller, which is in Wednesday's lesson, which is about studying the Word. We come back to William Miller, and we're told that Seventh-day Adventists owe much to William Miller because he understood the prophecies. While these were very key passages, it was not perfect for William Miller's methodology, but nevertheless, it paved the way for the birth of the Last Day Remnant movement that came about. When I was at William Miller's place, I could see the study table he was at, although that wasn't the original table. The chair was the original chair. But here's William Miller's glasses. He always had his Bible there that he studied from, and next to his Bible, he had this Cruden's Concordance, and he would cross-reference between the two. And as he studied back and forth, he came upon this verse found in Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. And that verse says, "And he said unto me, for 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." This brought William Miller to develop a chart. And this chart is known as the 43 chart. This chart was all the time prophecies that Daniel was trying to understand. I mean, William Miller was trying to understand all the way through. We have the 2,300 day prophecy here. We have a lot of other prophecies that are being fulfilled in here. But William Miller came to an understanding that the prophecy came about in 1843, because that was the end of the 2300-day prophecy. You had, after 1260 days, then you come to the 2300 prophecy. But there was a problem in the numbering system, because you see, when you look at the numbers here, you have B.C., many people refer to it as before Christ. And then you have AD. They refer to that as after death. It really means in Latin, Agnus Domini. And when you look at BC, it goes from, you could say, -4, -3, -2, -1. But he added a zero, because that's what William Miller thought. But there is no zero in the timeline. And after that, then it goes 1 BC, 1 AD. So if you take out that one, then all of a sudden it adds it to 2300 days to be able to bring it from 1843 to 1844. All this is for a reason, because it's all about context. We have to understand the context of the prophecies. But there are many people today and many religions that hinge off of prophecies that are not really true. They take scriptures and they mold it. They do certain things with scriptures that are really not in the context of what it was written. For example, many people are confused about the quote that says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And they're thinking that, well, if I'm absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord, because my spirit continues to go on. But that spirit is your breath. And that breath in the old Hebrew word is ruach, which means it's your breath. Now, if you ever been in a cold country and it's below freezing and you blow out, you can see your breath. And once that breath is gone, it's no more. That breath, they say, goes to God. That means it's gone and it's exhaled. But there is no spirit tied to that. We go to the grave when we die. But it is God that brings us back. He has all the DNA. He knows how we're made. He can bring us back. There is not spirits running around in heaven at all. But see, these are the different types of prophecies that people get confused with. Another one is, this is why we have to search the scriptures carefully. The quotation that says, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is when Jesus was talking to the thief on the cross. But the problem is, to understand it in context, when the Bible was translated and written, there was no small letters. It was all one type of letter. There was no punctuation. It was just one smooth run-on. So when they stuck the comma in there, they put the comma in the wrong place. Notice the difference. Let me say it to you again. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. There's a difference between assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. So if I say to you today, when you die, the next thought will be that you will be in heaven. So we cannot selectively pull this and that from scriptures to make it say what we want to say. We have to put everything into context to be able to fully grasp it. This brings us to Thursday. Thursday's lesson is about figurative or literal. Which one is it? Many people are confused. Are we about literal translation, or is it figurative? Is Revelation figurative, or is it literal when it comes to these things that we have to understand? Well, the lesson brings out here, by following the simple rule that the Bible must be allowed to define its own terms, most of the mystery behind prophetic symbolism simply disappears. For example, we see that a horn can symbolize a political power or a nation. And on the other hand, we find that a sword can symbolize the word of God. And yes, a woman can symbolize a church, but we can clearly see the Bible explaining itself. So this is the lesson that we have in this particular week. And that lesson is that we have to take the Bible, take it in context. Is it figurative? Is it literal? William Miller went to a lot of studying to a great extent to be able to dig up and pray for wisdom and understanding. And it is because of him that we understood the 2300 days. Now, it wasn't just him. There were other people that were also revealing these things, but they had not really brought it out as much as William Miller did. Hence, there was a following with William Miller. We have the Millerite movement that came about. And then Seventh-day Adventism came about through the Millerite movement. Through this, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was formed. And as a result of the formation of the church, now we have a huge movement that's happened as a result of that. This church is well into the 20 plus million people. And we have prophecy that continues to lead us and direct us and show us a timeline of things that are going to be happening still in our world that we live in. We look down, we see the news, we see the things happening each and every day. All these things are the beginnings of what is to come. We still don't have Sunday law yet, but Sunday law is coming on the books. And when that Sunday law comes, then we will have another Sunday law that will be by death decree. All these things we're told will come about because the time is at hand. So for Daniel, it was the time, not then, but in our time. So you could say that in 1844, October 22nd, when Jesus entered from the holy to the most holy place, that the time was at hand. It was during that time period on October 22nd that now prophecy of Daniel could be unfolded. It could be revealed. It could be opened. And that's exactly what happened because William Miller understood it. And as a result of understanding that, he opened the door for us to be able to understand it as well. I'm thankful for William Miller. And in fact, William Miller never even accepted the Sabbath day, but that was not in his time to understand. His duty was to reveal the 2300-day prophecy and to tell people that Christ is moving from one to another, signifying the last work. We're even told that in the early writings, I believe, that angels watched the grave of William Miller today. I remember standing at the graveside of William Miller, knowing that even though his bones are all gone and he is in the grave, that angels are watching the very dust of this precious man. He had done much for the cause of God, and as a result of what he had done for the cause of God, then he will be raised up in that very first resurrection. And all of us who are faithful, like William Miller, will be able to be caught up when Jesus comes the second time. We want to be ready. And we want to be able to understand prophecy because it is by understanding prophecy that we will be able to tell the world that there is this gift of salvation and that many people can have this gift if we accept the truth. Once again, it is about being ready. It is about understanding prophecy. It is about putting it in context. I pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you and that you would be able to learn from this entire quarter's lesson. Thank you for being a part of it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for what you have done in showing us how we can understand prophecy. We thank you for what William Miller did to uncover this and to open the book so that we could understand Daniel better. Continue to lead us, continue to guide us in all that we do, in all that we say. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Don't forget to request today's life-changing free resource. Not only can you receive this free gift in the mail, you can download a digital copy straight to your computer or mobile device. To get your digital copy of today's free gift, simply text the keyword on your screen to 40544 or visit the web address shown on your screen. And be sure to select the digital download option on the request page. It's now easier than ever for you to study God's Word with amazing facts, wherever and whenever you want. And most important, to share it with others.